Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hi, this is John White. Welcome to Lilydale Radio, the place where nobody passes on. We just go live in another world. Well, we're going to be talking to a very special guest, Will Harris, who is from Washington. He's a motivational speaker. He has several books. He helps people to empower their life. And he's going to take questions if people want to phone in about how to manifest money and happiness, your life purpose, how to identify your natural talents along with your purpose. Will is no stranger to Lilydale. He has taught several courses here at Lilydale. Will, what are some of the courses that you've taught here at Lilydale?
So I taught a course called Willpower Squared, how to develop your spiritual flame. So it's basically, you know, how you can have like spiritual junkies, you know, people that just collect all the spiritual knowledge, but they don't know how to apply or use it. I teach them how to apply and use it.
Beautiful. You know, I had an amazing experience with Will. Will took me to India, where there are thousands of people, and I feel as though I'm actually the one that manifested that, but Will just accidentally showed up at the right time at the right place to help me do that. Tell us about your adventures in India, Will.
So, first of all, I got to thank you for it, because I came to Lilydale first in August 2012, and I really didn't know anything about spirituality in the way that Lilydale introduced you to spirituality. But you saw me speaking to large masses of people. And everything that happened last year when we were together, you had seen it back in 2012. And back then I was just like a traditional business square. So I didn't know anything about this. But now, since 2012, have over a million Facebook fans from India. We do like a ministry where we coach girls on life and the challenges they have. And we gave two speeches to crowds as large as 600,000 people outside. That's what you and I did together.
Say that again. Right. How many?
600,000.
Wow.
So,
I was like overwhelmed.
So like a Woodstock. So as far as the eye can see, you see people. That speech was We Need Peace. And it was an event where people from all religions were brought together.
I remember that mantra. You got them to say the mantra several times. I believe there were some dignitaries and some politicians there also, wasn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was a big deal. It was a Maharaj, Tuktaji Maharaj. It was his death anniversary. And next year it'll be 50 years since he passed away. He was friends with Gandhi. He mentored the first president of India and one of the only female prime minister. So he was a pretty influential guy, and his saying and claim to fame was humanity is my religion. So he was all about bringing people together, villages together. So this event every year is just a loving event. Even next year, the prime minister of India is expected to show up as well.
Beautiful. If you'd like to call in to ask Will or myself questions, Will will be answering questions on how to manifest money and happiness. Will, tell us about your professional life, because you really did have a leadership role before you discovered before you studied Lilydale, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. So I started off with my hero was a gentleman named Zig Ziglar. So I used to work for him and within sales training. And then my career has been basically around sales training and consultancy. I used to be in charge of global sales for Motorola, and in 2012, right after I met you, I went off on my own and started my own consulting business. So now I teach corporations, mostly large-sized corporations, how to grow and become bigger. I'm a money guy. I teach companies how to grow.
What is your, if somebody said, well, what is your purpose? Can you put that in a nutshell, or is that a silly question?
No. My purpose is to help other people find their way in life. So anything that has to do with helping somebody else find their way, that is my life purpose. So whether it's in the business world, whether it's in personally or spiritually, anything that has to deal with that, that's what I'm all about.
Beautiful. And since you went to India, you do practice all these things, and we know you're interested in the possibilities of a higher consciousness of mind. Do you meditate, Will?
I meditate you were the first one to tell me that I needed to meditate, and I think how you phrased it was, name one spiritual guru who did not meditate. So I meditate every morning at 4 a.m., from 4 a.m. to 5 a.m., and then after that, I go and work out at the gym for 2 hours, and then my day starts with contacts in India and Europe and then the U.S. So I have a pretty regimented way that I feed my soul, feed my spirit.
So taking care of the body through exercise and taking care of the mind through meditation sounds like a really good combination, don't you agree?
Yeah, you have to.
They feed each other.
John, for a lot of people, they have problems in one area, but that's because they're out of balance in another. So if you're looking at mind, body, and spirit, if you're fat, right, your body's out of shape, then eventually your mind's going to be affected, and eventually your spirit's going to be affected. If you're not meditating, well, okay, your body may be in shape and your mind may be there, but then spiritually you're getting all out of whack and everything gets out of whack. So I normally tell people when I talk to them, let's do an assessment of where are you in mind, where are you in body, where are you in spirit? Do you have something that's stimulating your mind? Are you trying to get smarter and become more educated? Your body, are you in shape? If you're having problems, maybe you just need to drop 10 pounds and you'd be able to have more clarity around your mind. I mean, we'll keep it real with you, right? And then from a spiritual standpoint, we eat 3 times a day. We got to feed our body, so why not feed your spirit, too, through meditation? You got to. Some people are starving spiritually.
Beautiful.
You are listening to Journeys of the Light with John White at Lilydale and his guest speaker, Will Harris. Will is from Washington, D.C. He's a teacher at Lilydale. He has been coming to beautiful Lilydale since August of 2012, when he hit a turning point. He was once the head of global sales and training at Motorola and wasn't feeling too happy. He was making lots of money, but he just wasn't happy. He saw John on the HBO documentary, No One Dies at Lilydale, and he decided to come take a visit and get some questions answered. And last year, Will took John to India at the death anniversary of,
Maharaj.
Okay, and there they spoke to over 600,000 people. Over half of Will's proceeds go to charity. He is the author of Willpower Now, that is an Amazon bestseller, and his upcoming book, Dreamcatcher, How to Find, Follow, and Achieve Your Life Purpose. You can find him on willpowerharris.com. And Will, can you tell us a little bit about that first visit with John here at Lilydale?
Yeah, if spirituality is like a pool, then I would say that I may have been in the kiddie pool splashing around, but meeting John at Lilydale, that's like, yeah, going into the deep end and trying to swim. So I had no clue on what a reading was like, and, I was thinking fortune teller and that type of deal. So that first interaction kind of blew my mind, because it was the evidence of life after you pass on. There is really no death. And also the confirmation on so many different possibilities you have in the future if you make it happen.
That's right. I believe that your future is a byproduct of your thinking. And what Will is teaching is how to create a mindset so that you could manifest that which your soul desires. I believe, Will, that I'm doing this today because pun on words, I willed it. I desired to do this, and the desire was sincere. And because the desire was sincere, I manifested the teachers. And I bet you could also would have stories that how you desired something that was authentic and real. So how did you possibly will end up in India speaking to all those people? You couldn't make that happen if you tried. Well, how do you think it happened?
Well, I think, well, first of all, I was very clear on what my life purpose was. And I used this philosophy of use what you love to fight what you hate. I love teaching. Some people think that I'm a motivational speaker, but I hate that title because I just think of people like, rah, rah, you can do it, you can do it. But they don't really specifically tell you how to get it up. No, I like to consider myself to be a teacher, and I'm such a great teacher that maybe you get motivated. But once I honed in on that, I love teaching people how to get to the next level, how to find your way in life. And what I hate is any time that someone is pushed down or kept down or they personally feel that they are not good enough to get to the next level. So that was the core. I had that purpose. And then just manifesting wanting to stay true to that purpose, things started coming that aligned with that core purpose. So it wasn't like I said, I want to speak to 600,000 people. I said, I want to make the world a better place. And because of that, the different avenues came up.
And because when you're sincere, all the angels and ancestors around you will help you. Because if they know if they can help you, you will help a whole lot of other people. So if you'd like to ask questions about Will and what he's doing, he's going back to India again, and he's putting out more books, and he's traveling the world and teaching. You could phone us at 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818.
You know, John, I got to say, I failed a lot, too. It wasn't like I woke up and when I first had a reading from you and you predicted the extent, I was like, this guy is crazy. But you know who I am? I am just like a business person. But you predicted I'll have all these people. So I initially thought that I would wake up the next day, Oprah would be at my door, and there would be like a million people standing behind her. But I had failed and got set up and had all these great big expectations that got crushed. But every time they got crushed, it just kept going. And eventually, things started to manifest and grow. So it wasn't all roses either.
Reminds me of the story of Edison, the Edison who invented the light bulb.
Yeah.
He failed. Well, a reporter said, how do you feel? You failed 99 times. And he said, no, I figured out 99 times how not to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. And you have to be able to allow yourself to fail, because through failing, you actually learn and you know how to do it better the next time. So how do you manage your energy? You know, here's one of Einstein's saying, it's all energy, that's all there is to it. Create the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but to create that reality. Well, how do you kind of stay in that frequency? Do you have any teachers? Do you have any affirmations? What helps you to keep you in that frequency?
Well, I got to say, John, a lot of the stuff I learned from you over the past years, I attended your seminars too as well. And if you look at someone that speaks in front of large masses of people or entertainers, it can be very draining on your energy. But when you become a transference of energy, like the audience, the crowd, they send the energy to me and I just let it flow through me and send it back with no ego, right? It's not me, right? We are one. And you channel that energy right on back, then that becomes a flow energy. Like you and I talking right now, I have been up since 3 a.m. in the morning. I drove 6 hours to get here. I had meetings and sessions and readings, and now I'm talking to you, but still a lot of energy because you and I are exchanging energy. It's not like I'm just taking, right? It's not like I'm just giving, but it's two-way.
That's right, and people all over America, Canada, Australia, and England are actually listening to you right now, by the way. Okay. You know, there's a saying that without going out of my mind, I can know all things on earth. Without looking out of my window, I can know the ways of heaven. And so by meditating, we envision things, we can realize things, and we can manifest those things. You know, I do believe, Will, that we're not in the world. The world is in us. So if we fix inside of us, then we can create that world outside of us.
You taught me one thing one time, and that's one of the things, too, by the way, to give you a shout-out. I love your sessions because you teach, too, as you go. And you said, look, you are like a piano. It's your job to make sure you stay in tune and let the master, let the universe play you. And that's absolutely right.
Yeah, so if we show up in tune, it's a thing that the gods and goddesses can come and play through us. Will, give us a little bit of insight in your new book. I know you have the book Willpower that made it to the top. And what is your new book about?
So Dreamcatcher is a book about life, how to find your life purpose. And it came about because I started to run into so many people that were in a life transitioning period, or they did the checkboxes, checklist, right? So marriage, check. Child, check. Job, check. House, check. And then after they check all these boxes, they still are not having happiness, just like me when I first met you in 2012. So I decided to take the things that I went through, only talk about the things that helped me, and then package it so that I can present it out to other people.
Beautiful. Now, I know something about Will that a lot of you don't know. I remember when I was in there in India with you, you went off to a village where people basically were living on the streets, and this whole community brought them in, and you were trying to empower people in India, and you're helping. What are you doing in India along that line? I know you're doing a lot, Will.
Yeah, so I believe that anything you see that makes you cry, that's part of your life purpose too. So the day after we had our big speech, or actually the day of, two of my friends died over in India.
Okay.
You remember? And the next day I met someone at an orphanage, and he had the same type of energy as one of my friends who died, who helped people too. And this man, he had taken in 500 former beggar kids. They were orphans. The local gangs were using them to beg for money, and they would hurt them and scar them, and just so they would be more appealing to give money to. And this man decided that he was going to start teaching these kids. And his first piece of paper was the ground, dirt. And he took a stick, and he started to teach them how to read. Do you know they locked him in jail for 3 months because he taught these kids? Because the gangs were like, you're getting in the way of us making money. So these were the kids protested to get their teacher out, and he named this place the Question Mark School. And he said, because when I started taking these kids, I had more questions than answers. How was I going to feed them? How am I going to educate and teach all of them? How am I going to house them? They had teachers that were staying up all night, John, because snakes and scorpions would attack them. So the teachers stayed up all night, took shifts to make sure these kids were safe. So when I met him, I said, you know what, your answer showed up today. So I created a Willpower Humanitarian Foundation, used my own money, and put it through the foundation, and we started to support the education, the clothing, and the housing of these 500 kids in India.
That's absolutely amazing, absolutely amazing. I also have a partner, Melon Rosner, who goes into Africa and does similar things. And again, we have people who come to Lilydale who do humanitarian things like you, Will. Healing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you practice any form of healing? Do you give healing? Do you believe, like I do, is that you heal people through teaching and removing your ignorance? How do you heal people, Will?
Oh, my God. So all of those things you said, I believe, is true. You can heal people through teaching. You can heal people through singing. Whatever your talent is,
right,
that God gave you, you can heal them through there. For me, I really like chakra healing. So looking at the chakras, making sure they stay in balance and that you're in tune, and there's several different ways where you can do that. And my belief around the chakra healing is that if your chakras are out of balance, it can normally manifest into a physical illness, or it can manifest into a mental illness. But everything starts spiritual, right? So the chakras, John, depending on whether or not it becomes a physical illness, right? It can be heart disease or high blood pressure, or it could be a form of mental illness where people start having phobias and things of that sort. So when it comes to healing, I try to self-heal myself by keeping my chakras in tune, which helps with meditation and also being around positive people, because that positive energy can help heal you and keep you healthy. I never get a cold, but I also meditate every day.
Okay.
Before I meditated every day, I would get sick every year and have to do flu shots and stuff like that. But now my health is at a totally different level.
Okay. I also meditate every day. I do believe that meditating consistently is a very beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, Will, I also went to a place called, have you ever heard of John of God?
Yes.
In Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's also a medium, and he heals people through through prayer. And many people have gone to see him also come here. And, you know, Will, I believe we're all children of God. We're all children
yeah.
of God. And when you help us, when you help other people, you are actually helping yourself. This teacher, say his name again, that spiritual teacher in India.
Tuktaji Maharaj.
Maybe in a nutshell, remember, he had a following of thousands of people.
Hundreds of thousands.
Can you, in a nutshell, talk mm-hmm. about his teaching?
Sure. So Tuktaji Maharaj, resonated with him immediately when I heard about him, because his philosophy was humanity is my religion.
Okay.
Humanity is my religion.
I've heard you say that before.
So, I mean, the whole thing was about we are one. It was about bringing all the religions together, not saying I'm Hindu, so I'm better than you.
Right.
Not saying I'm Christian, so I'm the only one who will be in heaven. That's you. But finding out, what are those common principles, those best practices for being a human being across the board that we have in common? So he really specialized, too, in the village and helping to uplift the people in the village and also around self-empowerment. So, yeah, we should reach out to help other people, but he also said you should try to help yourself, too.
I noticed when I was there, I didn't participate, but they were actually teaching yoga there at the conference.
Yeah.
Even though there wasn't a lot of people that went, but they were teaching yoga. That was just an amazing thing because India is the mother of yoga.
Yeah. Well, you know, the beautiful part, over here in the Western yoga, right, not all of it, but most of it is about how the not hot yoga, like it's heat, hot, like I want to look hot when you do yoga. But in India, it really goes to the spiritual nature, too, as well. So it's the mixture of using your body to represent a thought, an idea as well. The combination of both those things is really what yoga is.
Beautiful. Beautifully put. Okay, Joyce is going to make a few announcements.
You're listening to Journeys of the Light with John White and special guest Will Harris. Will Harris is the CEO of Will Power
Consultation.
Author of Amazon bestseller Willpower Now. His upcoming book, Dreamcatcher, How to Find, Follow, and Achieve Your Life Purpose, is coming out.
Oh, God, please, hopefully in less than 3 months.
He regularly inspires thousands and thousands of people how to be empowered. He was empowered by John White here at Lilydale starting in 2012. And you take regular trips to India, that's right?
I do. I was there a month in August. I also went to Nepal and checked out the Minister of Children and Women Empowerment to try to fight human trafficking and get some things set up.
If you would like to ask Will any questions, feel free to call in at 818-739-8818. Again, that's 818-739-8818.
You know, I think it's important that, you know, we hear these big numbers like 600,000.
Right.
It's cool if you help six. It's cool if you help one. I don't think it's about, I didn't initially start out trying to have an impact on a lot of people. I just wanted to have an impact on one. So wherever you are, it's just good to start there.
Beautiful, beautiful. So helping people to get in touch with their life purpose, you know, mm-hmm. do you agree, Will, that, you know, when you make work a manifestation of your passion, then basically you have the real secret to prosperity.
Absolutely. When your work is your passion, it doesn't seem like work.
That's right.
So you don't get tired. You can go longer and you put more into it. It's really hard for people who have had like a corporate job, like you're in an office, is a lot of energy to fake and act like you're working. It takes a lot of energy, right? And then, like, you get the most work done the day before you go on vacation. So when your life is kind of sporadic like that, then it's draining. And after years of being in this type of rat race, it has a toll on your health. So when it's your passion, you're working, you love it, yeah, life is bliss.
So, Will, now you do a great deal of work with people who suffer tremendously, and you mentioned that you do work to help stop sex trafficking. How are you able to keep your spirit up in the face of all that suffering?
Well, I think that it's important for you to be yourself. So I'll give you an example. The first time I had to bump into it, now keep in mind, I was raised by a single mother in Norfolk, Virginia, and certain things I just didn't know, right? I had never been to India before, but when I started the Facebook page, I had this young lady send me a message that said, I need your help. I'm engaged to be married in less than 30 days. It's an arranged marriage. And already I'm lost, right? Don't know about arranged marriages. But the person that she was engaged to marry, his family was rich. Her family was poor. And he had raped two girls that she knew. So she knew that having a life with this monster was going to be horrible. But because of her culture, she was afraid to call it off because they could throw acid on her as insult. They could throw rocks and kill her, like literally stone her, like old school we hear in the Bible. So she said, sir, what do I do? So I had never been in that type of situation before. Like, again, Norfolk, Virginia. But I believe that when you stay true to who you are, when you just, you know, speak, talk, act from that point of who you are and not trying to fake being somebody else, you get the answer. So I told her what to do. And 2 weeks later, I got a message back. She said, thank you, sir. You saved my life. I did what you said. It worked. The marriage has been called off. And about every 6 months or so, I get a message from her, like an update. She ended up going to college, and things are going well. You want to know what I told her?
What did you tell her?
So she had told me that she tried to talk the guy out of marrying her, right? And that she didn't love him. So she started to ignore his calls and hope that he would get, you know, would just stop. But he didn't care because in less than 30 days, he was basically, in his mind, going to own her. So I told her, don't ignore his calls. Take all his calls. Matter of fact, call him all the time. Show him the type of wife he's going to get. Call him up, and when you tell him to come over and bring some gifts. Don't only just call him. Call his mama. Call his daddy. Ask his mama the stupidest questions in the world, like, how do you boil water? And they said, we do not want this dumb person to be our daughter-in-law, so we're calling this off.
Now, you know, human trafficking is in the news a lot today. So we're very happy that you were touched to actually do something about that.
Yeah, and some, I don't even know what they do, John. There's a lot of situations like going around the orphanages or somebody sending me a Facebook message that I have not been in that situation before. But if it moves you, you have to try. And it's kind of like, I think it was Martin Luther King Jr. who said, you may not know all the steps, right?
Right.
But if you see that one step, that one step. And I just take one step with the faith that the other one's going to come up. I just don't walk by. So if something moves me, then I try to do something. Like homeless people. We see homeless people on the corner, right? And sometimes we give money, and we give money. How much do we give them? Do we give them $1? I mean, is that going to change their life? So why do we give whatever amount we give? We give it so we can buy off our own guilt. That's what we do it for.
You know, I heard you tell an amazing story about that. Remember you took your child to the to the park.
Yeah.
Remember that? You want to share that one as well?
Yeah. So the story behind the homeless people, it doesn't matter where you are, compassion is there, right? So my sister gave what's equivalent to half a penny to somebody who was homeless over in India. And I asked her, you know, what that amount was and why did she choose to give that amount? And that's when I realized that, you know, we do what we can, but we're really only doing it, in some cases, just to buy off our guilt enough so we don't feel bad about ourselves when we leave. But if you really are moved by that situation, to do something about it. So when I came back to the States and my son and I, we went to like Chuck E. Cheese, right? And when I came out, I couldn't find my wallet. But at the same time, there was a lady with her child. She couldn't find food. She was hungry. She was in need. And at that moment, I realized that no matter what my worst day is,
right,
my worst day is somebody else's dream.
That's right.
And it put things in perspective for me in terms of me looking at my own problems and also in terms of how committed am I going to be to help somebody else out? And am I willing to admit what I am not and then do something about it?
Beautiful, beautiful. In spiritualism, we know that we have guides and angels that come and help us and inspire us.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any angel stories?
Yes.
Or guide stories that you'd like to share with our public?
Yeah. So, you know, I have the stories that when I get a reading and I find out that when I thought I got myself out of trouble, that it was really a little assistance from some guardian angels instead. One time I was riding my bike. And I was going kind of fast, and I'm kind of old, John. I'm old. So when you fall, it hurts. It hurts a little bit more as you get older. So I fell, and I remember falling like, wow, I'm in such great shape. I'm not that hurt. I'm okay. And then next thing you know, I had a reading in Lilydale, and the medium was like, did you fall on your bike? Because the angel's here, and they're kind of taking credit for that. And I had just fell hard on my bike, right? And I'm like, oh, man. And, like, in full disclosure, I am kind of deaf to my guardian angels. I don't ask for advice as much as I should because I'm like a doer, a pusher, and I try to make things happen. And it's only in those times where I can't find a way out that then I ask, but I don't have to wait until I can't find my way out. I can ask advice from my guardian angel counsel, just the universe ahead of time. So that's one of the areas of my own self-improvement is to ask before you get in trouble.
Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. I always joke with people, I say, if you want to manifest something and you're not sincere, don't worry, it won't happen. So one of the four agreements is to be sincere,
mm-hmm.
to be sincere, okay? And I know that God knows whether we're sincere or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So one of the things that I gathered from you and another teacher was, you know, how do you pray? How do you manifest? What is
okay.
it all about? And most people have heard or seen, if you're into spirituality, you've seen the movie The Secret, right?
The Secret, right, yeah.
I like to think of, you know, there's something else like The Secret on steroids.
Okay.
And The Secret on steroids is not that, oh, I have this thought that I want to make some money and then all of a sudden I make money. But there's three different components to manifesting. And when you have just one, okay, it's good. When you have two, ooh, you're going someplace. And when you have all three, boom, that's when it happens. And those three things are, number one, you have to say it. You have to clearly articulate what you want. And some cultures call that prayer. And then the next thing you have to do is you have to imagine, you have to visualize. You can't business it. If you can see it, you can make it happen. So the second thing you have to do is you have to have a clear image of your mind of it coming true. And then the third and most powerful out of all three, but it's great to have all three, is emotion. Can you feel like it already happened? Whatever you ask for, make your own emotion feel that right then and right there. And when that happens, that's the definition of faith, John. Faith is feeling like it already has happened. And when you can combine the words, and you can combine the image, and then you can have the emotion, boom, I'm not just talking trash. This is what I did. This is how I make my money and pull all these things together. But it's like going to a gym. You got to meditate, right?
Right.
So if you go to the gym on the first day, you're not trying to pick up a ton. You got to work your way up. So you meditate and meditate and meditate. And by the time I was meditating 2.5 years, I wanted to make $100,000. I said it. I saw it. And then I felt like I had it. And the next day I got a call from a client where I closed a contract for $100,000. Now, that didn't happen the first year
right.
that I started meditating. But you start meditating every day.
Right.
You call whatever you do every day. So what do you do every day?
That's right. That's right. And you use the word imagining it. You know, Einstein said imagination is more powerful than knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be able to imagine something before we can manifest something. And in the word that Jesus said, when you pray, thank God for receiving what you are praying for.
Yeah.
And I was listening to some other mystics recently from different parts of the world, the indigenous people. And yes, just like you, Will, they believe it. When they pray, you have to feel it. You have to feel that you've already received it. You feel that you've already received it. And, of course, you do it in a very sincere way.
You're listening to Journeys of the Light with John White and special guest Will Power, Will Harris.
That works too.
He is the author of Amazon bestseller Will Power Now. His website is willpowerharris.com. He is the owner of Willpower Consultation, and we have an email from Sarah from Buffalo, New York, and she wants to know when you made the shift from your former business work with Motorola to the work that you do now. Did you find yourself having a lot more synchronicities and little coincidences to help you on your path?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, that was the case. When you start having faith in your passion, faith in your vision, things will start to flow your way. But you know what? I think the biggest part of that is you have to be you 24 hours a day. Some people are totally different at work than they are at home. You can't be that way and expect to be the best you can be. You have to be able to create the life and the persona that you are you all the time. And that's where I try to get people to get to, that when you start, put yourself in a position where you let go and let God,
right.
How do you find your spirituality at work? How do you keep your business in a professional manner when you're going through and doing spirituality? I'm going to help out some orphans. Well, we need a project plan. If I'm going to sell or do something at work, I need to be about kindness. I don't need to try to steal competition from somebody else. Thou shalt not steal. So why am I going to try to steal competition? You got to be you, this persona, this thought that in business you got to lie or you got to cheat to get ahead. Okay, so first of all, you may get ahead financially, but you ain't going to be happy. And we know a lot of rich people, they ain't happy. So how can you be you all the time?
Wow, that's amazing. So you're saying walk your talk, live your philosophy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
All
that's
the time.
What I credit it to. You told me, this is your words, okay? You said, Will, you have a choice. This was in August 2012. You said, you can either speak the message or your life can be the message. So since that day, I decided to put all my effort into being and living.
That's beautiful. Can I use that?
It's yours. You made it up.
Beautiful. You know, myself and just like you and other people that are channeling spirit, we tap into a higher form of intelligence. We tap into a wisdom that's in each and every one of us. And we don't realize that wisdom sometimes.
So now, Will, when people are making that shift and trying to be more authentic and say, heed your advice, do some of those people find themselves having more difficulties before things get better. Have you noticed that?
Oh, my God, yes. Okay, so in life, for anybody who has success, they will tell you the path to success is fail, success. It's not a little bit of success, and then a little bit more success, and a little bit, no, that's just in movies. And you can think about it. If you saw a movie where the hero started off was rich, good-looking, and in love, and then in the middle of the movie was still rich, good-looking, and in love, and then at the end the person was rich, good-looking, and in love, would you go pay for that movie? No, that movie would suck. That life would suck, too. Right?
Right.
So you gotta have problems. You gotta have challenges. Earth is not a tour. We didn't come here for a vacation. We came here to learn. We came here to grow. And the only way to do that is for you to have challenges. So it is insane to believe that it's going to be smooth. The only question is, are you willing to fail the number of times it would take to win?
That's beautiful.
And if the answer is yes, you're good to go.
You're listening to Journeys of the Light with John White and special guest Will Harris. Journeys of the Light is one of four Lilydale radio shows. It's on every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. On Tuesdays at 8 p.m., we have Colleen VanderZijden, another registered medium here at Lilydale. Her show is Embracing Your Essence, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. On Wednesday mornings, we have Wednesdays with Willa. That's Willow White, another registered medium, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. And on Friday mornings, we have Celestial Fridays with registered medium Celeste Elliott. So again, you are listening to Journeys of the Light with John White. If you'd like to call in, it's 818-739-8818. Again, that number is 818-739-8818. And here is John and Will.
Will, when I was with you in India and you were talking to all those people, I have to admit, how the heck did this guy pull this off? And the other people that were with us on tour, too, we were all thinking the same. Thousands of Hindu people.
Hundreds of thousands. I know it sounds crazy, but it really was hundreds of thousands.
You didn't speak the language.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I barely speak English. Your listeners don't understand me.
They didn't know you from Adam.
Nope.
Okay. How did you pull that off? Do you feel as though because you are so sincere, you really feel from deep down inside of your soul you have a message?
Well, first of all, John, when you speak to that 600,000 people, like, you don't know if you're going to have an accident on yourself and pass out. But I felt more comfortable talking to them than I feel talking to you right now. And I feel pretty comfortable talking to you.
Okay.
I would just say from a point of being humble and fearless, humble in the point of I just allowed myself to be played by God.
Okay.
I just allowed God to work through me. And I was fearless in the point that I was lined up to my life purpose. And you can't fail when you lined up to your life purpose. You just can't. So I was fearless, and then at the same time, I was humble. And when you can combine humility with fearlessness, you got it. You just got it. But most people just don't associate humble with fearlessness. I remember Mr. Ziegler said one time, humble people don't think less of themselves. They just think of themselves less. They're more focused on other people.
And I also believe that, the angels can work with us when we don't think we know it all.
You got that right.
Yeah.
And I practice, too, by the way. Practice.
Okay, yes, just like you were saying, like the piano player, you tune yourself up, you get yourself in tune, and you show up, and then the gods and goddesses can come and play through you.
Now, Will and John, we have an email from Pamela from Boston, Massachusetts. She wants to know, she's been hearing a lot about ascension, human ascension, in the last little while, and she wants to know what you think of that. Do you think it's a real thing?
So let's define ascension, right? So we make sure we're not apples and oranges type deal. When I hear that, in my mind, I'm thinking of like the Kundalini rising type deal,
right?
Or, someone working on being enlightened and stuff like that. So that's where the porn I'm coming from. So I don't know. Was it Pamela?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if Pamela is referring to that type of deal, but I have heard it. You name it, I have seen it. I have been all over the world, from spoon bending and table tipping to kundalini workshops and stuff like that. But I tell you what, whatever you call it and whatever it is, I got to ask, how does it make the world a better place?
That's right.
And if you don't have a clear answer to it, who cares, right? You can, like, I wanted to do spoon bending, right? And then something happened to me that I was like, unless I can put food on the end of that spoon to feed somebody else, what does it matter if I can do that, right? Out of body experience, you were like, you told me one time, you waited in a long line to get here. Now you want to get out? Why everybody trying? Oh, I want to have out of body experience. You like fought to be on this plane, on this, and now you want to go away. So, past life regressions. Some people are just go through it like it's a drama, like a soap opera. Unless you have some type of problem, some block that you can't explain, then okay, go back and do a past life regression because of that. But don't do it just because you want some entertainment. And why is everybody somebody famous? Ain't nobody Joe the janitor. Everybody got to be somebody famous. Like, I was King Dawson. No, you was Joe the janitor. Ain't no Joe the janitor in this past life reading.
I can tell you the truth. I met quite a few Joe the janitors in past life. But, you know, you're a good example of someone that has ascended yourself to a higher state of consciousness, to really living out your life's purpose. And it's really a joy, Will, to have you here, because I saw you with the people in India, and I saw you with the children and your sincere desire to help people. And it is really, really quite amazing. Are we able to follow you on Facebook? Are we able to follow you? Can people write you or phone you?
Yes. So they can follow me on Facebook. My Facebook page is Willpower Now. So it's facebook.com/willpowernow. And also my website, willpowerharris.com too as well.
Okay. And Will, can you tell us a little bit about the classes you've taught here at Lilydale?
Yes. So I'm going to tell you about that, and then I got to kick something else out too. I am not always wonderful, John. There are times, just not, you know, you gave me all that credit and being high and enlightened and stuff like that. But every now and then, I find myself drinking my own Kool-Aid. And it is so important that you have somebody close to, like I've been with my wife for 20 years.
Beautiful, I met you. Beautiful woman.
We celebrated our 20-year anniversary 2 weeks ago. And she is like my ride or die. And she keeps me home. I don't care how many people you spoke to, you better take that garbage out. So she brings me down to earth too as well. But back to your question in terms of the classes I taught at Lilydale. They have all been around how do you develop a spiritual plan.
Okay.
Similar to everybody collects this information because that's the beautiful part about living in today's age and time, right? Google's like a demigod. You just ask God Google, and
right,
you get the answers back, right? But what do you do with the information when you collect it? How do you apply it? And for so long, if you weren't Christian, then you were just out or wrong
right.
or crazy, or you must be voodoo or something. But now everyone started understanding meditation, right? It's not a religious thing. It's an everybody thing. So because of that, I started helping people to organize and chunk. Now that I learned it, how do I apply it? I know about past life regressions. I know I have, like for me, I had a fear of speaking. And then I had a fear of speaking. And so many things over the years you helped me out with, you don't remember nothing, right? Because after it just comes through you and you let it go. But you did a past life regression on me one time, and I was in Africa, and I was attacked by a lion. And right before that lion attacked me, I had this feeling of fear in my stomach. It was the exact same type of fear I had every time I had to speak. Now, I would get up and speak, and that fear would go away in 30 seconds or a minute, and I learned how to get people to laugh up front so I can feel more comfortable. But I noticed that was the exact same feeling. So you had taught me how to pause that in my mind right before that lion attacked me and then rewind it and replace that emotion with acceptance. with just the understanding. And then I replaced that emotion and then played it again and again in my mind as I meditated, having that scene go back and forth. So in that way, I took a spiritual lesson around past lives and applied it to make my life easier. So I was able to speak to 600,000 people without passing out and be like, oh, my God, I can't believe it, and forgetting everything I had to say.
That's beautiful. Now, in Lilydale, we also communicate with our ancestors, fathers, mothers, grandfathers. I know I met your beautiful mother.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any grandparents?
Yes, it was her birthday, too.
Yeah, do you have any grandparents? Yes, it was her mother's birthday. Do you have any grandparents on the other side of life?
I do.
That you...
Like all of them.
Do you ever sense them around you?
Yes. But it's something that I didn't automatically get. It's once I realized that they could come or that they were there. Then it was a matter of feeling it, like noticing a certain tingling in my arm or a feeling in my chest in a certain way of like pressure, but not like pain, and relating it to whoever I was thinking about at the time or something reminded me. And when I started getting the signs, the little hints, right, and you pay attention to it and you stay attuned to it, that's when you can know who's there. It's kind of like when you ask the universe or God or your ancestors for answers, then how do you identify? People say this all the time. How do I know I'm not just talking to myself?
Right.
How do I and I know? And what you teach, right, is to pay attention to where did that answer come from? When you know it's right, ask something that you already know the answer to and see where that answer, when you get that answer back, are you feeling something on the right side? Are you feeling it on the left? Are you how do you feel when things go right? It's almost like being a scientist, right? Where you're doing experiments and trying to see when things go right, how do I feel? And that's that whole clairvoyance, clairvoyance.
Yeah.
And all the other funky stuff. I don't know all that stuff, John. You know that stuff.
That's beautiful. Hey, you know, I believe that when one member of the family, I can speak slang, gets their act together, gets focused, and what they're doing helps a whole lot of other people, heals the family tree. And I believe you're actually doing that. And sometimes we have ancestors on the other side of life that may have had the same talent that you have, and they're there in heaven saying, oh, look it, there's Will. Yeah, he can work. Do you have any ancestors on the other side of life that you feel may have had some of this insight, some of this passion that you have?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that I have learned was that they still learn even when they go to the other side.
Yes, they do.
Like, it's just this myth, this urban myth that because you're dead, you got to be smarter than me. Just if you were dumber than me when you were alive, the odds are you still dumber now you're dead. but if somebody like my grandfather, he was pastor of a church, so when it comes to speaking things,
there you go.
He tends to come back. I had a reading today, and my Uncle Ronnie is funny. Okay, he was a hot mess, but he was funny too. So when it comes to inspiration and creativity, Uncle Ronnie comes in and inspires me and points the way. So those, the best parts of you are now being safeguarded by the best parts of your ancestors.
Right.
And it may not necessarily be somebody you know in your direct lineage, like your grandmother. It could be your great grandmother, but it's just a matter of getting into it. And I don't care what you call it, you just have to reach out and feel it. It doesn't, to me, it doesn't matter who the good stuff is coming from,
right,
as long as the good stuff is coming to me.
You know, there's a saying, if reincarnation is true, we are our own ancestors.
That's right.
And so when you're doing this for yourself, you're not just doing it for yourself, you're actually doing it for your family tree.
Yeah, you know,
you're actually doing it for that beautiful son that you have.
Yeah, and when it, thank you. And when it comes to reincarnation, too, I always like Black History Month. I'm just like, you know what? It's my turn to be black this time, but next time it's your turn. So.
Well, I was a Tibetan monk last time.
Nice.
Well, we're starting to narrow it down. We have about 5 more minutes, Will. And again, there's actually people in England listening to your words. There's people in Australia. All over North America that are listening to you.
Been to all those places.
Can you tell us a little bit about the book you have coming out?
Sure. So the premise comes from my first book, Willpower Now, where I talked about use what you love to fight what you hate. What is that thing that you love to do that requires a skill? Because you can love being with your friends and your family, but that doesn't really require a skill. And that's what's something that you hate, that when you see it on TV, you cry. When you talk about it with your friends, they're like, okay, John, calm down. We get it. What is that? And the first time I applied it, you know, outside of myself, was I had a coworker at Motorola whose wife used to work for Microsoft. And she got ill and couldn't work and got depressed, and she was a stay-at-home mom, and he told me to talk to her. And I said, I had never met anyone to use this formula and didn't have all the money that they wanted eventually, happiness even on their saddest day, and woke up every day feeling like they were contributing to the world. She said, what is it? I said, use what you love to fight what you hate.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So what she loved was cooking, baking, and what she hated was spousal abuse. It would make her cry. So you normally wouldn't put baking cookies and getting your butt kicked together, right? Because we prejudge it. We say, oh, I like purpose. It may not make any money. So I told her, why don't you bake cookies for the local batter women's shelter? She did it. The local news report came out on her ex-Microsoft executive donates time and cookies to the local shelter. And she got a grant for the Bill Gates Foundation, strictly by using what you love to fight what you hate. So the new book, Dreamcatcher, is laying out a process. I call it the four P's that really guides people down the path to finding out their life purpose, or at least achieving their dreams.
I love that message, well.
Thank
I really love that message.
Thank you.
Will and John, we have an email question from Tika in Fredonia, New York, and she wants to know what advice you might have for people who are dealing with someone in their life who has a mental illness or like bipolar, you know, how to empower them and deal with that.
Okay. So I would tell you, I would transfer this answer I heard from a gentleman named Fred Smith. Fred Smith was one of the wisest men that I ever met, and he was Mr. Ziegler's mentor. He was talking about someone who had bipolar, and he said, try to see if you can monitor those signs right before you have an episode, because they're normally certain triggers of feelings. And when you see or feel that you're about to have an episode, take yourself out of a social situation. Don't try to fight it or push it off. Just remove yourself from that social situation. And I just thought that was very keen specific advice. So that's something you can give to someone who is going through that. And for someone who's experiencing it, I would just say, what life lesson can I learn from being around this person that can help me?
Beautiful, beautiful.
Well, thank you so much, Will. This has been Journeys of the Light with John White and Will Harris. If you'd like more information about either guest, you can log on to John's website, www.revjohnwhite.com. Or willpowerharris.com. That's willpowerharris.com. I want to thank both John and Will. You guys.
Thank you. I want you to say that affirmation again. I just passionately love it.
Use what you love to fight what you hate.
Use what you love to fight what you hate.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
Okay. And we're praying for your Will, but you know we know you're going back to India. We know that you're going to do a whole lot of beautiful work and empower people. So thank you, Will, and God bless you.
Thank you, John. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, my pleasure, Will. Thank you.